The signature on the NDA was still wet when Liam's hand first brushed mine in the back of a rain-slicked Audi, the Dublin skyline blurring into a grey smear of ambition and bad decisions. I didn't pull away because I thought it was a choice I was making for my career. A calculated move by a Trinidadian girl who had fought through the heat of Port of Spain to reach the air-conditioned heights of global logistics. I was wrong. It wasn't a choice, it was the first stage of a management strategy. I didn't see coming until the door to his office clicked shut and the professional respect I'd spent a decade building evaporated like mist in the Caribbean sun. I sat at my mahogany desk, 3 months later, staring at a performance review that read like a ransom note. Liam sat across from me, his blue eyes as cold as the Irish sea, the same eyes that had looked at me with simulated adoration just 6 hours prior in a suite at the Hyatt. The transition was seamless for him. He didn't need to raise his voice or threaten my contract. He simply leaned back, adjusted his gold cufflinks and told me that my focus had slipped, that my emotional entanglements were affecting the supply chain metrics for the Southern Caribbean sector. My emotional entanglements, as if he wasn't the one who had spent the last 90 days weaving them like a spider. He had seduced the very concept of my autonomy. It started with strategy dinners that bled into 2 a.m. whiskey-fueled brainstorming sessions, where he made me feel like the only person in the company who truly understood the architecture of his vision. He didn't force me into his bed. He made the bed feel like the only place where the real business happened. He rewarded my intimacy with insider information, gave me the gift of high-priority accounts after a weekend in Tobago, and whispered about our future as a power couple while I mapped out the shipping routes that would make him a managing director. He had turned sex into a currency, and I had been foolish enough to think I was the one setting the exchange rate. The realization hit me when I tried to push back on a logistics tier one contract that favored his Dublin cronies over the local vendors I knew were more reliable. I stood my ground in the boardroom, citing the data, the lead times, and the port congestion risks. Liam didn't argue the facts. He just gave me a look, a soft, knowing, devastatingly private look that told everyone in that room we shared a secret. He effectively castrated my professional authority with a smirk. When the meeting ended, he followed me into the break room, pinned me against the espresso machine with the weight of his presence, and told me I was being difficult because I was confused about our dynamic. "Amara, darling," he whispered, the lilt in his voice now sounding like a sharpened blade. "Don't let your pride ruin the very comfortable position I've built for you. You're a brilliant woman, but you're overreaching. Let's keep the fire for the bedroom and the compliance for the office." Yeah. That was the moment the floor fell out. He wasn't my partner, he was my handler. He had used my body to bypass my brain, ensuring that every time I thought about challenging him, I'd be reminded of how compromised I already was. He had turned my ambition into a leash. I looked at the man I had shared my bed with, the man I thought was my mentor and my equal, and I saw the predator behind the pinstripes. He had spent months dismantling my boundaries so that when he finally decided to crush my professional dignity, I wouldn't have a single wall left to hide behind. The punishment for wanting my dignity back was swift and surgical. Within 48 hours, my access to the real-time tracking software was restricted. My meetings were moved to times he knew I was handling the Port of Spain customs clearances. He began CCing my subordinates on emails questioning my judgment and stability. He was gaslighting me through the corporate infrastructure. He would send me a bouquet of lilies to my apartment at 7 p.m. and a formal disciplinary warning to my inbox at 8 p.m. It was a psychological siege designed to make me break, to make me quit so he wouldn't have to fire the woman who knew exactly where his professional and personal skeletons were buried. I sat in my apartment, the humid Trinidadian night, pressing against the glass, realizing that the choices I thought I was making were just steps in a pre-written script. He hadn't threatened my job. He had seduced me into a position where the job was no longer mine to keep. But Liam made one critical mistake. He assumed that because he had managed me through sex, I was too broken to manage him through the truth. He thought he had trapped me inside my own guilt. He forgot that a Caribbean woman who has navigated the rough waters of the Atlantic knows exactly how to handle a sinking ship. I opened my laptop, the glow illuminating the dark lines of my face. I didn't look at the performance reviews or the disciplinary warnings. I looked at the digital trail of the tier one contracts he'd rigged, the offshore accounts he'd used to facilitate the gifts he thought were buying my silence, and the voice memos I'd recorded in the quiet moments after he thought I was asleep. He wanted to punish me for wanting dignity, fine. I would give him the dignity of a full public accounting of his management style. He had turned my career into a game of entanglement. He thought he had won because he held the power. He forgot that in a game of logistics, it's not about who owns the port, it's about who knows how to move the cargo. I wasn't his darling anymore. I was the person who was about to decommission his entire world, one leaked document at a time. The air in the office might have been cold, but the fire I was bringing was going to be absolute